Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Very funny comedian Jessica Kirsten is joining us. We'll talk to her, and we'll have some laughs, and then we'll do the news. But first, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Please. All Jews walk right toward, they can't wait to tell you what they thought. It's amazing. It's like Night of the Living Dead when they walk. It's like Thriller. Just, and they can't wait to tell you what they thought. And it always starts out nice and ends up nasty. It's the same thing every time. Like, I thought you were very talented, but no one around me laughed once. Even smiled. You should kill yourself, you fat fuck. Or you're so pretty up close. But on stage, you look like an animal. A goddamn animal, you loser. You'll never make it, you stupid.
Jessica Kirsten on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Jessica. That was funny.
Thank you, Adam.
Disgusting Hawk with Jessica Kirsten is is it a pod or YouTube show?
It's a podcast, but I do characters. I dress up like different characters and interview comedians.
And we can find that on your
YouTube
channel.
Yeah.
All right, and live dates coming up all over the place.
Yeah.
By the way,
I'm a traveling clown. That's what I call myself.
How long you been traveling and clowning?
Since 99. So I'm in my 23rd year.
And what time are we in stand-up right now? If you were to give it a... I always think about like... Well, there's...
Fucking nightmare.
There's a heavyweight division of boxing and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and Joe Foreman. Like, oh, I mean, George Foreman. You know, those are the halcyon days. And then we get into the mid-80s and it's kind of flattens out. And where are those? Seinfeld and comedy and all these same names. Like, where do you think we're at now?
I don't know. I mean, I'm keeping like true to who I am, and I really fight it. And I'm not going to let anyone silence me. I fucking speak my truth, and I'm very real on stage. I've said so many things on podcasts that I could be ruined for, so I figure I should just go for it.
And for a penny and for a pound.
What?
And for a penny and for a pound.
Yeah.
You're already in.
So. Yes. I'm in, so I just say whatever I want. And I got into stand-up to be free and to not be silenced. I had been told to be quiet my whole life. My mother's a therapist and saw clients in the house, so I was silenced my whole life. So.
How insane is that?
Well, so, yeah. I you know, it's in a crazy place. It really is. I think most people want you to just be free and say whatever you want, and very silent, you know, very small majority want to tell us what we can and can't say.
Well, it's like all you need is one sniper to freak out the entire village.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That
and that's kind of where we're living. And also, I was just interviewing a professor earlier today for another podcast, and he's a college professor, economics. But I said to him, like, how are kids today versus your students from 30 years ago and whatever? And he kind of went like, he literally like looked over his shoulder. Like he was scared he was going to say something about the miserable little pieces of shit who are self-entitled and coming to his class now versus the one from 30 years ago. But you can tell people pause. Like they go, I'd love to come on your podcast and talk, but... And I thought... Really, is that where we want to be in 2022? You want people with ideas going,
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's hard. I don't like being told what I'm saying. Like, I don't like being told that I'm saying something I'm not. I also know that as a stand-up, I'm always coming from a kind, loving place. Like, I'm never coming from a hateful place. See, I do characters also. So I'll do a character and someone will tell me, like, they think the character is mean-spirited or racist. I'm like, it's a character. Like, I do characters.
I know.
It's amazing. I'm doing a character.
We couldn't have Archie Bunker anymore. People are like, we don't like him. Yeah, he's the joke. He's the butt of the joke. Meathead wins the battle.
Oh, you don't have to tell Ernest Lee Bigot over here.
That's my
fake character he came up with.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
So, good. I am with you in this. I've been saying... into any microphone I can find over this past several years, you're a comedian, you get to say what you want. And once they get the comedians into the corral, they got everybody.
Yeah. I mean, there are people where I watch their set and I'm like, you're a horrific person, disgusting and whatever, and I don't want to watch it. But I still believe, Adam, but I still believe that they have the right to say what they want. I still believe it because I believe in the freedom of speech. I'm working on a documentary right now about female comics around the world. I made one for Hulu. I was on FX and now it's on Hulu. I executive produced called Hysterical.
It's great.
And thank you. Did you
My wife and I, the rare movie my wife and I watched together and enjoyed.
Oh, you liked it? Really?
I liked
good.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of comics and in that have probably been on this.
I would say it suggests that the future of comedy is really strong. There's a lot of great comics on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I made that movie and I'm making one now. And I interviewed a lot of, during COVID, like 10 comics from around the world, the only female comic in Jordan, from all over. And they literally government has to go to their shows. They have to sign paperwork. They can't talk about the government, the royal family. They can't curse. They can't talk about sex. And so it's like we take for granted how fucking important it is, how free we are here, and it's how free we are as comics that we can talk about whatever we want. I mean, I really saw that when I interviewed these female comics from all over the world. It was unbelievable.
Well, the assholes that live here have this fucked up version of life. It's the same relationship they have with communism or socialism. They go, look, what's going on in Jordan is wrong, but maybe just some of it here. Maybe just the stuff maybe just a bit of it here. That, and it's like, yeah, really? I think that's a good idea to start heading down that road. Just a little bit of vetting what we say before we say it.
I still might not like it. It might make me sick and I might hate what some people are saying, but where do you you can't tell people what they can and can't say. I'm sorry.
Can't. To me, it's a non sequitur. Like, this comedian is saying something. I disagree.
Right.
They're comedians. I don't know if what the guy, they start off with some story about having some brother who was a bully and whatever. I don't know if it happened or not. Maybe it didn't. Maybe that's what they think. Maybe that's what they don't think. Maybe they fucking bought that joke from Jeff Ross. Maybe that's what Jeff Ross thinks.
I know.
You know what I mean?
When people say to me, you shouldn't talk, you can't talk. I'm like, don't tell me what I can and can't say. Don't tell me. Like, who are you to tell me what I can talk about on stage?
Step back a few feet. Is this really what you want? You want comedians editing themselves as they think about their next bit.
And comedians you haven't heard of until somebody else tweeted about them. Wasn't in your wheelhouse. It wasn't like, I was a big fan, but that joke freaked me out. I got to, whatever. This is like, who is this? So I don't know their name. Well, let me get in. Let me pile on.
What makes them think they're that important? Do they, what's really sick? That they really think that we'll consider it. That's the most fucked up part.
Well,
how sick does someone need to be?
I, look, I, w- w- Unfortunately, there are many cases of if you want to live in this ecosystem known as Hollywood and you'd like to, you know, be on Netflix or HBO or whatever, there's a fair bit of having to conform. We've seen many examples of people being removed from their livelihood. But
I have two great examples for the news.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I cannot wait. So the problem is it's basically Hollywood and China are basically the same thing, it's essentially Nike's in China. LeBron James has to talk up China. He can't say what he feels about China. There's lots of human rights abuses going on every 10 seconds in China. But what are we going to do? We're going to take the patch off of Tom Cruise's jacket that had Taiwanese patch. So what China does to Hollywood is what Hollywood does to free thinkers. Like, you better watch yourself. We cut checks here, and you're going to remove yourself from that payday. And it's ironic that they're kissing China's ass while essentially doing a version of that with people that get deplatformed because of whatever they may have said that they disagreed with.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I really want to get a show on Netflix. I don't know what to say.
Well, you're lesbian, right?
Yeah, I have a better chance. I'm a lesbian and I'm heavy.
Oh, is heavy a thing now?
I don't know. I mean, I think they'll be nicer to me.
Oh, hold on. You're not heavy. Sorry. I gave the wrong answer.
Should I? I know.
You failed the friendship
test. I'm surprised you can tell.
I can't. I thought it was part of your act.
Actually, I'm wearing padding.
Oh, really?
I wear padding just so I can, people can feel sorry for me.
You get a show.
I have lost a ton of weight, but I keep some weight on so I don't get assaulted.
You can't say that joke.
Yes, I can.
Not on this one. We have many
people
listening
who may have
been assaulted. I didn't
want your producers to touch me inappropriately.
Have you lost weight?
Oh, my. Adam, Google me. I'm like Zillow. I was fucking I was like seven people. I wouldn't have even been able to fit in your fucking door. You would have had to put like oil on each side of me. I'm not kidding.
How much weight?
It was enormous.
How much weight have you lost?
I've lost about 120 pounds.
Wow.
And kept it off for 8 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm still losing weight. I've lost even like 20 recently. Yeah, I'm really doing well. I was very large.
How are you losing the weight?
I don't eat like sugar or flour, or I eat like brown rice, sweet potato. You know, I eat I don't eat a lot. Very low fat. You know, I've been exercising, really just taking care of myself.
I know. It's so
sad. It's so hard. I mean, on the road is so
hard. Oh, my God.
It's so hard. I have to bring like a cooler with me. I want to kill myself. It's horrible.
The road is, well, first off, you don't travel with Mike August, because I travel with a man by the name of Mike August, who, by the way, is a coaster splitter. He came in and brought Bill Maher water yesterday and split two coasters with water. He had one on the right and one on the left. He's a coaster splitter.
Never seen that in my life.
And that should be a new term
That's
for
aggressive.
All who don't follow the rules.
Yeah.
That guy's a coaster. Went in between two coasters.
Arrogant.
But I come off the stage, and he's back there, and he's ordered sliders and chicken fingers, and french fries. And now it's there. And you got an hour and 20 minutes in between. You're just sitting there staring at it. And, what's wrong with one fry with a little ranch dressing? That's where it gets hard. Yes.
Yeah. No, I can't do it. I've been doing it for a while now, so it's much easier. But I'm an animal. And I don't even chew anymore. I literally fuck my face with food. I should start an OnlyFans and just fuck my face with food. I think a lot of men would watch me.
Oh,
it's a thing.
Just my head. You know what I'm saying? And just fuck my face with food.
Yeah.
Like I've never cut my wrists, but I've cut my mouth on the inside with chips. Like, I'm a cutter on the inside.
Really?
I fuck my face. Like, seriously. Like, I make sounds like there's blood. It's fucking insane.
Is it? I also kind of realize that the road is a little form of trauma in that.
It's very traumatic.
I've always said, why is it that I can go all day without eating, but if I get up at 5:15 and I'm hustling the airport, I'm like, I need a fucking bacon sandwich.
That's true.
I need it. I need it. And I realize I'm traumatized.
Yes.
I would normally be sleeping at this point, but I'm trauma. That's I want my so huggy boogie. Yes. I want my safe room. I want to pet
That's
something.
That's true. I'll have three bagels because I'm very traumatized that it's, I have to travel.
And so you get up really early. You kind of jostle your system. Then it's the whole the airplane with the getting yelled at with the mask. And then it's the club and it's the nerves and the performance and everything. And the next day you're like, I don't want fucking celery stocks. I need something to feed. I deserve
to
be
rebuilt. Well,
you
already fucked up. Yeah.
Rebuilt.
So it's like,
So the road is tough.
And after the show, you get that high and you know, everyone's clapping and it's great. And then you go back to the hotel and it's so empty, you know, because my mother never held me. It's a lot. And then I just want to feed myself. It's bad.
Your mom was a therapist who worked from the home.
Yeah, she saw clients in the basement, and I had to be quiet every day. I was like Anne Frank because I was Jewish and I lived in the attic. This is not a lie. I swear on my life. I lived in the attic, and I had to be quiet, and she saw clients in the basement. And Zach Braff is my stepbrother from Scrubs.
Really?
Yeah, and he grew up in the house starting at like 9, and we all used to like just listen to the sessions. It was insane.
In the basement.
Yeah. And then the clients would come and she didn't have a phone and then they would be waiting for her and she would always be late and I'd have to like take care of them and explain to them like she'll be home soon.
And would you ever interrupt the session by getting a load of laundry or something?
I always had to interrupt the session because I had to get in contact with her. There was no way to like contact her. So I'd be like, Mom, she'd be like, what do you want? Like she would get enraged with me. Like she'd be on phone sessions and be like, could you hold please? What? I'm on a session! And then get back on and be like, oh, so your anger is really catching up with you. Like it was, do you remember Est?
Yeah.
I went to Est at 8 years old.
I haven't thought about that
in
a million years.
Werner Erhard. It's fucking, it's this guy who was like a guru who ran these courses. It was insane. It was like a cult. And my mother was a seminar leader.
Oh my God.
And I had to go at 8 years old. Like her and all her therapist friends' kids went. And they went around with a microphone and I wasn't speaking and they're like, what's your issue? And I'm like, well, my parents fought a lot and they really don't like each other. I don't know. And the next thing you know, I was walking on a stage with a huge sign that said victim.
Oh my God.
I mean, no wonder why I blew up and fucking became a clown.
That's why you fuck food.
Yeah. Well, it fucks me. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Either way.
You have a donut in my asshole right now. I'm a mess.
It says that it was full of mind control, verbal abuse, and sleep deprivation.
Well, I mean, look, now you wonder why I eat box. I mean, I'm a mess.
It was kind of weird Scientology in a weird way kind of before that, probably 70s, late 60s.
Was this the one that was kind of situated up the Central Coast?
It's everywhere. It's the landmark.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
I did that too in the World Trade Center, and look what happened.
Oy vey.
They had a lot of like primal scream therapies and a lot of this. They basically treated your inner angst and pain like it was a carbuncle that needed to be lanced. You know, just get it all out.
Right.
Just get it out.
And get over your story.
You just pound that pillow and scream
about
how
angry. I pounded pillows for years.
Oh,
my mother gave me a wiffle bat and would bring a pillow in the room.
Oh,
and be like, get out your anger. It was all towards her.
You know, one of the biggest selling items from 1972 was called a bataka bat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so
it was a padded sword. You could get all, I'm so mad at you. It's like, I'm 9. I'm your neighbor. I die.
That's parodied in The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's right.
One. Pulled the stick
and they
out.
It off, yeah.
Yeah, because all the Simpson guys lived through that year. This whole thing is just, you could just punch more stuff. You wouldn't be so angry. Like Mike Tyson, he got it all out of his system. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they still do that now. A lot of therapists do that now. They still do the pounding the pillow with the bat and all that shit. It's big now.
Did your mom? My mom had a biorhythms wheel. She's a scientist who didn't like to.
You just got laughed at by Jessica.
Well, my mom would be, she used this thing, you know, I'd be like, can I get a ride to Teddy Lewis's house in Van Nuys? Hold on, let me consult the wheel.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, extra critical day. I don't think it'd be a good idea to start the car.
Extra critical.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
This is it. Chris brought it in. It's a biorhythm.
Oh, my God.
It looks like an old birth control holder. Birth control pill holder.
Tell your days of the month.
That's crazy.
Between the science of the biorhythm wheel and the devil's triangle, so much science going on as a young kid. Bermuda? You know? We can't go to Bermuda. The biorhythm wheel says the devil's triangle is having an extra critical day. Oh, more science. So your mom.
Yeah, she was an art therapist. So she had to draw pictures of my feelings, and then she'd analyze them.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Did you feel tricked? Like she was allowing you to be vulnerable, then kind of punish you for it?
I was enraged. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? No. Like I would just have a feeling. Like I was upset the Love Boat didn't come on, and she'd be like, "Let's draw your feelings." I mean,
love
it was
the Love Boat.
Me too. I would masturbate to it. It was like soft porn.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, to a kid. To me, it was as fan. So it would be the Love Boat, and then Fantasy Island come on. But to me, the Love Boat was as fantastical as Fantasy Island because people owned luggage, and they had a suit, and they bought a ticket, and they're with their family. And they're enjoying themselves.
They're not working.
And then it came time for the dinner, and the guy's got a tuxedo, and he's having a highball. And I'm like, what? What is this?
Yeah. It was incredible.
Yes.
And there was tension, sexual tension with some of them. Yeah.
A lot of tension.
Yeah.
Dr. Bricker tried to bang every hottie that got on that ship.
I know.
So I don't know. What was this period, which is... parents sort of needing to analyze or graph things onto their kids. Like I got kids, and when they were 9, I didn't had no impulses about, look, I need you to draw something, and then I'm going to break it down from a psychodynamic standpoint. Then we're going to break off into discussion groups, and I'm going to invite some other adults over to analyze this. Let's fucking put it on the refrigerator. Keep walking. What is this? My wheel and this therapy and
the
stuff that was, it's all in you. Like where did all this, it was such a 70s thing.
Yeah, it was huge then. I don't know. I mean, I really got it because my mom is a therapist.
Right.
I mean, I still do. She's like, she does Reiki on me sometimes without asking because she's a Reiki master. So I'll just like feel her hands come on me and then I'll hear her go. I'm like, Mom, you're psychologically molesting me. Like you're literally, you're molesting me with your psychology. You need to ask me first before you just start doing Reiki on me.
And you're like in your refractory period from the face fucking. And now she shows up with the Reiki.
The face fucking is my favorite. Yeah, it comes from a good place because she's always trying to fix me. But that's the problem. Like, I always feel like I need to be fixed when I'm just having a feeling.
I didn't realize
so
I was
broken.
So it's fucked
with me a lot.
Yeah.
Cause, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you think we're crazy now, but we were crazy then.
Oh,
too.
I like it.
But it was just kind of analog crazy. You have a wheel, you turn it, you consult it.
The wheel thing is making me laugh.
What is the definition of the biorhythm wheel, Chris? But now we're digitally crazy. You know, we're texting. And
I think
doing
this is
everything.
Where this is. I think this is a lot worse. The digital shit.
Well, I'll tell you what it is if you have a sane family who lives next door, they don't have to do all the bullshit we did. That's our fucking bullshit, Mom. But now it's like everyone's in the tent.
Yeah.
The crazy tent.
And
now we all need to consult the biorhythm wheel.
Yeah.
Right down to like the WebMD and diagnosing yourself. And
that's
all
what I'm
shit.
Saying. Yeah. The Googling and forget it.
We've come full circle because there's now biorhythm apps.
Oh! There's a biorhythm app. Oh, don't tell my mom.
Chocolate peanut butter.
Get that jitterbug fired up.
Jitterbug.
What is the definition of the biorhythm wheel?
So the biorhythm theory is the idea that our daily lives are significantly affected by rhythmic cycles within periods of exactly 23, 28, and 33 days. So the 23 days, the physical cycle, the 28 days, the emotional cycle, and the 33 day is the intellectual cycle.
The fuck?
And so the way they all line up depends on how good of a day you're going to be having.
As a woman, my first thought is, don't tell me about my cycle.
The 28th day is the emotional cycle, also the same amount of period as the menstrual cycle. I don't...
For some people.
Coincidence? Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, also, how about you just fucking get up and go to work every day? Like, why do you want to give yourself the option of like, I mean, what if you got to fly cross country and it's an extra, now that's in your head, and extra critical days you get onto the airplane, you know?
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. Ugh. Just step back, moms. Was your dad a little dingy?
No. So my dad was so black and white, like, oh boy, just like very just anal OCD. Like they did not end up staying together. I mean, everyone got along. Thank God I have a great family that way. But like they ended up getting divorced, but they should have never gotten married in the first place. Mm-hmm. But he didn't even like, wasn't into therapy at all. I mean, he did S just to please her when they were together, but like, he's like, get over it. Let's go. You know, Brooklyn guy, total,
right,
like,
right.
Ended up being a big Trump guy. My mom is a huge liberal. I mean, it's hilarious. I can't even believe they were married. And, you know, she was always into therapy and talking about stuff. And he was like, just get clear your head. Let's go. Clear your head. Fucking get into it. Let's go. And, it's hysterical. The thought that they were even together is a miracle.
Yeah. I think my parents, my theories, my parents couldn't see each other for decades after they got divorced.
Oh.
But I think they were both so embarrassed that they were with each other. And it was mutual.
They could both do better.
I look at my dad and my mom go, God, like some guy you fucked when you were drunk in college and you run into him, you know, at like, a Costco 8 years later. I know what he's thinking, you know. And my dad would look at my mom and go, with the biorhythm wheel. They were disgusted and ashamed, I think. That's just me putting on my psychology. Yeah.
So I enter my birthday in the app.
Uh-huh.
Today, is for me, a peak physical day.
Oh, yeah, really?
Physical peak, which is a joke. I'm falling apart. emotional, intellectual, terrible. Minus 95.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let's turn that mic off. Do you feel dumb?
Yeah. I do now.
Cut the mic.
So what my mom would have done is she would have consulted the wheel before she left for the podcast then scrubbed the podcast because...
That's incredible.
I would love to just find out who's purchased the biorhythm wheel and find out their relationship with work. I guarantee not a lot of guys at logging camps were consulting the wheel before they left that morning.
Gina, what's your birthday?
May 1st.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Look at that. Let me. Mine's May 27th, so we can figure out what kind of day I'm having. Let me hit X chair from the first moment. I sat in my X chair. I thought, this is what a real office chair is supposed to feel like. Never looked forward to sitting in my office until I got my X chair. But I got my X chair long before they came on as a sponsor. And now the chair I sit in as I speak is an X chair. Can your current office chair massage or heat up or cool down? X chair got LMX massage and temperature regulation exclusively designed for X chair plus customized support of X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar or DVL. So you can try your X chair risk free for 30 days once you realize how much. And how much better it is. You'll never go back to your old chair. It's X Chair, right, Dawson?
Go to xchairadam.com now. That's letter X, chair, ADAM.com, or call 844-4XChair for $100 off your order. X Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. xchairadam.com.
Uh-oh.
What kind of days Gina
had? One of you is having a great day. The other one, way less so. Adam, this is a good day for you. 89 physical, 97 emotional, and only minus 37 intellectual.
Mm.
We see that all kind of fail.
Sure, yeah. Minus that's horrible.
That's a good day.
That's still
a
good day overall. That concept today.
Let's compare it to Gina's.
Fuck.
Gina, I got bad news. Your best score is physical, 0.
Wow.
This is hysterical. Zero.
Minus 22 for emotional. Yeah. Minus 97 intellectual.
Wow.
This sorry, everybody.
This is crazy.
You shouldn't be doing the news today.
You're
my mom
right.
would tell you
zero.
Do not do the news today.
Oh, I'm really rethinking the reduction right
your
now.
Best score is 0.
That's going to be the name of my autobiography.
All right, should we take take a quick break and we'll see what 0 Gina Grad can do with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Jessica, we need to give your birth date to Brian so we can...
November 14th.
Figure out how long
this... If you would like to not tell me what year, you can write it down.
Oh, 1969.
Okay.
I don't care.
November 14th, 69.
And your weight? That's part of the wheel.
124.
Social Security.
Don't upset the wheel.
1,200.
Don't insult the wheel. You've insulted the wheel. Now.
Fuck you, wheel.
Ooh, good day. Bad news, minus 78 emotional. However, 62 intellectual, 94 physical.
Oh, that's okay. Good. Yeah, I came twice today. So
all
that
right.
Makes sense.
That makes sense. Really?
you since I've sat here, hoagie?
Since I sat here, I've come twice.
All right, well, here with you. Try to get through this.
I'll do my best. I promised you a couple of stories about cancel culture, and they come from two very different angles. So let's get into those first. Cinema Blend has pulled its original review of the movie Turning Red and left its author, Sean O'Connell, out to dry after he was accused of being a sexist and racist.
Did we talk about this or talk about someone else?
No, with somebody else, because we talked about the movie I've been told is like Carrie for Children. What does a young, emotional Asian Canadian girl do when she's getting her period?
I haven't seen it. I thought it was great.
My family loved it. I haven't seen it, but it was published on March 7th. It was long. I'm literally just giving you like two lines.
It's the review for the movie.
Yes. And this was sort of the crux. I am not this film's target audience. Pixar has turned its reins over to fresh voices and given them the freedom to share deeply personal stories, though less universal stories, and just kind of gives a lot of examples about how he's like, I don't know, this movie certainly wasn't made for me. This sounds like a movie that was made for the writer and the writer's friends. It's
Wait,
very
is it
specific.
The movie where they – what's the movie where they turn into a red panda?
That's it.
It's this one.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about a period?
It's a metaphor. It's a, it's a Pixar movie, so it's really good.
There's a lot about of metaphors. A period?
One of the most obvious metaphors is that this is a 13-year-old girl who's now getting her period, and when her emotions get to a certain level, she turns into a red panda.
I saw the trailer. I had no idea.
Neither.
I'm thick that way.
So the guy's like gives a million examples of why he was not the target audience for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The tweets came in about what a privileged white male dipshit he is, and I pulled one.
What was the publication he wrote for?
Cinema Blend. And the one that really, I think, is sort of encapsulates what we're talking about, someone tweeted, "This dude sits on the board of Critics' Choice." This was an Entertainment Weekly digital editor, Yolanda Machado. "I'm so ashamed that I share a group with him. He must be removed, as he has done this before. We do not want or need racist critics on the board."
I don't know if you know the answer. Did he give it a good or bad review?
Do they give thumbs up or thumbs down the
whole
time?
I'm just wondering.
He literally just kept saying, "This movie was not made for me. I don't know what to do with it." This is the worst part. Go ahead.
I don't understand. What did he say that was racist?
Well, like the examples he gave, like if I, this is supposed to be a little girl who's Canadian and Asian and 13, it's not for me to relate to.
He basically said the director drew heavily upon her Canadian, Asian upbringing to make this movie, and she did. But like all great movies, it's relatable and it has like greater meaning.
And I read the whole thing, and he's literally just saying, here are all the reasons that I don't relate to this movie. Like, it's not even about the movie. It's about his inability to relate to it. But he did delete it and apologize.
You got to, or you're going
out
to the cornfield.
"I'm genuinely sorry for my Turning Red review. Thank you to everyone who has reached out with criticism, no matter how harsh. It is clear that I didn't engage nearly enough with the movie, nor did I explain my point of view well at all. I really appreciate your feedback."
Ugh. It's so such a fucked up society.
But that's what I'm saying. To me, he did explain all that. He kept saying, "I'm not the guy for this movie. Here are all the reasons I don't relate to it."
It doesn't have to be linear or track or be logical or follow any sense anymore. It's we're living in an era where Sharon Osbourne defends Piers Morgan against a chick who's half black and half white, who's a bitch, and she gets shit canned. It doesn't, we don't have to track anymore. It's just, we're just there. Somebody complain, you're gone. That's where we're at. And now everything is fucked up because I don't know. As a guy who's been rejected from Sundance from a bunch of docs, one about a black man who overcame adversity and the other one about a guy whose partner's named Sundance in the Sundance Film Festival, it's no longer about the product anymore. And now we don't know. Like, this is a good product, but now you got to watch the Oscars and go, are they just there because it's about a black lesbian, or is they really there? Is that really the best picture? Is this really a bad review? Or are we now not allowed to give bad reviews if the subject is a female or Asian or something? Like, we're fucking ourselves up badly here. It really badly.
Well, and that's the thing. Like Brian said, it's unclear whether this is technically a good or bad review. But even if it's a bad review, it has to be deleted.
And you're allowed to like or not. Here, I'm going to use your logic, which I agree with, which is if you're not a sushi fan, don't review a sushi restaurant. Right. It doesn't make sense. And if this movie, I think, is a little grandstanding in his point, like, this wasn't made for me. Right. That said, if you could not relate to it, could not understand it, wasn't made for you,
recuse yourself.
Exactly. Well, so, you know, yeah, there's other people should be reviewing.
I agree with you too.
I don't think he should have even reviewed it.
Yeah,
if you feel that strongly, genuinely, pass off.
Or like, why keep saying, yeah, that's a cop I don't out. Relate to this.
No, I agree on that side of it, which is, first off, if you're a movie reviewer, then review movie. The two shows I toggled back and forth with on Netflix is I was watching the Andy Warhol doc, and then I would switch over to Schumacher, the F1 Ferrari star, and I'd just watch Andy Warhol, and then I watch that one. Now I like cars, and I'm not as into Campbell soup cans, but I as a guy who has nothing in common with Warhol, I can still enjoy it. Sure. That's your job as a reviewer. Wherever this guy's from.
Cinemablend.
No, I mean, he hails from Indiana.
Right.
Every movie's not going to be Hoosiers.
You've
got to use your imagination a little bit.
I thought the same thing. That was a little annoying. Like, that was like, come on. Do your job.
Well, so it's two different points. It's, kind of pull your head out. This isn't about you. But also, why delete it, pretend it never happened, and then apologize for your off take?
Right. But on the other hand, it's a very dangerous world when we go, this movie was made by a woman of color, and then, hey, white guy, you can't critique this movie. Mm. It's like we have Kamala Harris is a shit show. I can say she's a shit show without being a racist or misogynist. Sexist. She's just bad.
She happens to be bad
at her job. Like, please, everyone, we're going down a scary fucking road here.
Well, I'll do you one better. And this one doesn't have the apology at the end. At least 12,000 students at the City University of New York have signed a petition to cancel an opera about Emmett Till. Mm. And he's the victim.
Really?
Yes. And the reason will astound
is
you.
Is it celebratory?
The victim of a high-profile 1955 lynching in Mississippi because the woman who wrote it is white.
Oh, my God.
John Jay College of Criminal Justice student Maya Bishop created the Change.org petition in an attempt to halt the continuation of Emmett Till, a new American opera.
Cousin Maya.
What? Oh, yeah. Cousin Maya, your girl. In the petition's description, she wrote about saying that the show is all about playwright Claire Cass's white guilt rather than the appalling killing of Till when he was 14 for allegedly flirting with a white woman. His murder remains one of the most notorious race hate killings in U.S. history and helped galvanize the era's.
Well, tell this Jussie Smollett.
That's right. That's right. But I think you'll appreciate this. The show features a black composer, a woman named Mary D. Watkins, and she said about this petition, it's an insult to her as a black woman and to the company members who are African-American that they're doing this on their behalf.
That, to me, is insane.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's insane.
Truly. It's very Twilight Zone-esque.
Well, also, it's the opposite of whatever Dr. Martin Luther King was talking about. And if you want to tell these stories as a white person and a white woman, then that is the definition of evolved, you know. And it's this slippery slope of I've been screaming about this for 20 years. Stop assigning the race. As a woman of color, I feel like, or you know, it's subtle. It's now ubiquitous. If somebody's got to interview Jussie Smollett, we have to have a black woman go or a black guy or go get that. It's like, is this the road you want to go down as a society where this person can't have an opinion on that or create art or interview this person of color? It's fucked up. It's essentially the new form of racism, this new created black dorms and black graduations and segregate everything and compartmentalize everything. And now there's actual, you know, thoughts like you got to go, hey, if you got a doc or whatever and you want to get into Tribeca, well, there's maybe we hand it off to this woman of color and then she brings it in so we could get into the. Is that where you want to go? Because we're here and we keep going and it's all in the name of progress, which is the scariest part.
Well, and the thing to your point, what I don't understand is, don't people say, like, you know, it's really not an issue. Like, I'm making up this example, but like, say, racism against black people really won't become a universal issue until a white person or somebody, you know, in the majority stands up for them. You know, it's like, don't, like, they say that about women, like, men, help us, like, be our ally. Like, don't torture women on the street when they're walking alone. Don't, freak people out. Help us, be part of the solution. This woman wrote an opera about Emmett Till. She's essentially helping raise this awareness.
Yeah, well, it basically, to me, the hand has been revealed, which is if your goal, the stated goal, is we have to end racism and oppression or whatever. Once it starts getting into this territory, you're now into the sort of PETA category, which is I was with you on the testing shampoo on cat eyeballs. Now you're calling everyone who steps on a roach Hitler. Now you're nuts. Yeah. Now you're going into the dingbat.
Well, tell Jessica about the racist boulder.
Is it university?
I can't remember what university.
I'll
figure it out. What's the Colorado boulder?
Yeah. It was not Illinois. I'm trying to.
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, yeah. The race, a boulder was deemed racist. So they moved it.
They just moved it to another area.
It was a newspaper story from like 1923 that called it the Rock a racist name. And then somehow, I mean, the whole point is, the good news is we apparently were running low on real racism.
Oh, I see the picture.
Because we have to manufacture it.
Wasn't it like the guy who wrote, the guy who wrote the paper ended up having like not 2022 views on everything.
He gave the boulder a racist name.
Oh, maybe. Okay, I don't remember that.
But that was – but we sailed through the 70s, 80s, 90s with the boulder not oppressing anyone. Okay. And then in 2021, we had to make a move.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you're going or if you went to Miami Beach for spring break, joke's on you because they got a curfew starting at midnight Thursday. That is, as you hear this, after two shootings and injuries to police officers over the weekend shattered what had been a relatively calm spring break. And they may start to do more restrictions. The mayor and city manager said they'd asked the city commissioner to extend the curfew. Curfews can only go for 72 hours. So this is basically going to go from Thursday to Sunday, and then they'll ask to re-up it. So maybe control yourselves.
Spring break
at South Beach.
Spring break's getting a little rowdy.
Apparently.
Yeah.
People cutting loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of shootings and shit going on.
And now you better be in the house by 6 p.m.
Well, first off, what house? Like, I feel like most people are down there.
Back in the motel.
They're from Pennsylvania, right. And they're coming down there to party, but they got to be back in
party in your room.
Back in the room.
Yep. So,
did you guys do much spring breaking?
I did. Oh my God. I went to University of Maryland. I went away every year for spring break. I was just in Delray, Florida this weekend, and it was insane.
Really?
The spring breakers. They were out of their minds drunk, wasted in the streets.
Really?
Yeah. It was insane.
What was your spring break back in the day?
Oh, we went to like the Bahamas, Cancun, those places. Yeah.
Nice.
I was in a sorority. I had so much fun.
Sweet. Wow.
I mean, we were like the ones that got high all day and didn't show up to any events, but I had a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
so much fun? Delta Phi Epsilon.
Is that a East Coast?
It's a national sorority, but I went to Maryland where like St. Elmo's Fire was filmed. You know, like that horseshoe was amazing.
Jealous.
I know. There were a ton of fraternities and sororities. It was fun. Where'd you go to college?
Nowhere.
Oh, well, look at you now, though.
But I watched the shit out of St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I would see all the buildings with the ivy and the brick.
Yeah, that's what I was in. I lived in a house for 4 years. It was fun.
The leaves changing, the seasons and everything. I grew up in North Hollywood. So
pavement.
You want to go to the 7-Eleven or the Circle K?
Yeah.
Which stucco box do you want to go into? That was it. I would watch those movies and go, oh, look at them. They're going out. They're having a drink.
Mm-hmm. We did.
They got a bar that they all go to.
Danced on tables. It was fun.
Wow.
It was. That was the best time of my life is college. I loved it.
If it resembled anything close to St. Elmo's Fire.
It did. And I just did gigs in Florida, and they all came to my shows.
Nice. Like really?
They surprised me. Oh. 9 of them.
Oh. Wow.
They were all like, Jessica, I looked over, and 9 of my sorority sisters were there. God. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Jealous.
I know.
We would go, we had Palm Springs.
That's fun.
You can't get, wherever we went, you had to get there in a car that wasn't that good. And there's a range issue. There's no plane tickets or cruises or anything. But
Tijuana, close second.
Yeah, we'd go to Palm Springs, but we didn't have credit cards or hotel rooms or something. We would just show up and kind of there's a picture, Chris, of me. I don't know if it's from one of our books or something, but there's a picture of me sleeping on a lounge chair, which is basically just show up and go like, who's staying where? And sometimes they let you sleep on the floor or whatever, but sometimes you'd have to just go out to the pool at night when you were done and just
flop out.
Just flop on a lounge. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get into that. I'd either come out here to see my dad or maybe go to New York, but I didn't rage. Did you rage?
I had one real spring break my senior year. I went to USC in LA. So I think it was the first flight I'd ever purchased for myself. We went to Florida, me and like 4 friends, flew to Tampa, drove to Fort Myers Beach, drove to Miami, drove to Key West.
Oh, that's
fun. Then
retraced
our steps. And that was an awesome week. And that was the only real spring break I ever did.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, I didn't go to college. Didn't really mean that much. But I mean, we could like piggyback a little fun, on the back of other people who attended college.
You knew when spring break was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think the closest scene was like Palm Springs. And then that would be the move. All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad. And that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Today, by the way, is Bill Shatner's 91st birthday. And a Truth Yeller special I did with him is available now at the Daily Wire, dailywire.com. So I dropped it on his birthday. What a delight. All right, let's see. You can go to amcroll.com for all the live shows. We'll be in Helium and Indianapolis coming up May 6th and 7th. Jessica, she's got dates all over the damn place. Go to jessicakerson.com and find out where she's going to be playing. And Disgusting Hawk with Jessica Kirsten as well. And the YouTube channel, jessicakerson.com. And Dr. Stephen Gundry and Unlocking the Keto Code. Good to see you, Jessica. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, too. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Until next time, Adam Crawford, Jessica Kirsten, and Dr. Stephen Gundry, and Gina Grad, and Bull Bryan, say it. Mahalo.
I guess I have to shoot guns now.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/AdamCarolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal. When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at GEICO.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free. Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free.